I've never been to Jacob's Well. I got close. And honestly, we may have gone to it, but we went to a lot on my trip to the Holy Land, on my pilgrimage there. So there's a good chance that I at least drove by it. But somebody that I knew from a previous trip brought me a bottle of water that was taken straight from Jacob's Well. A bottle of water taken from the very well that we have here in our gospel today. This well is ancient. If you haven't picked up from the gospel, this is a well that meant something. It's not just a hole in the ground where you could get some drink. It was Jacob's well. It was something that linked people to their past. It linked them to their story. It connected them to who they were as a people. And it was shared between Samaritans and Jews. One of the few things that was a site of reverence, even though this well was located in a place where Jews never went. I used to use that water to baptize people because of the connection to this moment. This moment when everything changed, not just for this woman, but a moment when everything changed for you, even if you haven't yet realized it. It changed for y'all too, if you have not yet realized it. See, I don't think she expected anything more from this day than the jobs and the tasks that she had to do. I don't think she woke up and anticipated liberation and freedom. I don't think she woke up and anticipated meeting God there by the well. I think she woke up and knew that she had some work to do. That was most women's lives in that day. They woke up and they knew that they had work to do. And lugging water is no joke. If you've never had the privilege of lugging water miles around, you don't know how backbreaking it is. I tried it briefly in Africa, and it was not for me. But it showed me the strength of everybody who did lug water around. And so I know that she came ready to be burdened. She came ready to get everybody else's water. She wasn't there for herself. And that's the first thing we've got to know about her. She who remains unnamed, but let's give her one now. Anybody got a good example? Let's call her Sarah. Let's let her be somebody and not just a nameless. Sarah did not know what she was getting into, but she knew she came there for everybody else. Man, isn't it terrible to have to live your life knowing that you're always living it under someone else's burden? When you're not living up to the expectations of friends, family, of parents, of priests, of pastors, when you feel like you can't accomplish everything, when it feels like you can't even get everything done for everybody else, which means you can never get anything done for yourself. You can never be you. That was her experience. That was Sarah's life. And now here she is, meeting a stranger. And even our Lord and God, Jesus, understood the social conventions that he could demand water of her. She knew she came to get water for her family. She knew she came to get water for her village, her people, her animals, herself. But now she's called upon to get water for somebody else. Sarah just wanted to be Sarah. Like every one of us in this room, we just want to be ourselves. But not just to be ourselves, we want to be loved and accepted and welcomed for who we are. And I think even a baby just born out of the womb somehow understands deep in its soul that it needs to be held and accepted for who she is in that moment, vulnerable, in need of love. Just like a person in their dying moments under hospice care needs to be accepted and affirmed for who they are, a person on their journey. We always are in need of affirmation of who we are at our core. Always. Sarah needed that. She thought she was there for everybody else, but she was there for herself. Jesus broke social conventions. Jesus broke ritual law. In this moment, Jesus here meeting Sarah at the well and speaking with her and engaging with her was tantamount to crossing the railroad tracks in a southern town in the 1950s. There were places you just didn't go. That's this moment. Jesus crossing social barriers, crossing racial barriers, crossing religious barriers, crossing all the barriers you could think of to meet Sarah in that moment, to let Sarah know that she was whole and beautiful and worthy of God's love. "Give me something to drink," he said to her, but really he was just drawing her in closer so he could give her something to drink. All of us have shown up here this morning, whether you came in here at 7:50 or whether you slept here overnight. Every single one of us needs what Sarah needed. Love. Affirmation. To see Jesus like he is on the cover of our bulletin, reclined in the pose of a soft teacher, welcoming Sarah's questions, welcoming her whole self, welcoming her full identity. He knew who she was. He called her to a different life, a life of fullness, but he did not shame her and he did not reject her. He touched, engaged, spoke. He knew her and he called her into his holy service. Every single one of you, and myself included, need what Sarah got, an outpouring of grace, of the richness of God's mercy that knows no boundaries, that knows no limitations. Here is our Lord and God pushing through all the barriers that one could think of to let this woman know that she was whole and beautiful, and thus igniting and inaugurating a revolution of love, a revolution that speaks to us and changes us and transforms us even in this very moment. This may not look like Jacob's well, but living water's here. This may not look like a well dug deep in the earth, but rest assured, friends, what you will get from this table is what Sarah got in that day and what the world has gotten ever since. The fullness of God's love and grace. I can remember being 13 and not believing that this was for me. I can remember being a young child who did not understand my place in the world and was confused about who I was and feeling as if God might not love me, and yet the well was always there for me. I can testify as a 40-year-old man that those questions sometimes are still there, just like I bet they are for you. At whatever age you are when you walked in here, we all go through periods of life where we need to be reminded that we are constantly given this grace. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to labor for it. We don't have to plead for it. We don't have to beg for it. We don't have to feel constantly sorry for all the wrongs that we have done to get it. You don't have to be anybody other than who you are. And for y'all up there who are growing up in a much harder world than I ever did, you are always free to be yourself and know that God loves you without a shadow of a doubt. And it's the same for everyone here. Today, we, like Sarah, have come to the well to drink of God's living water, not because we've earned it, not because we're perfect, but simply because God delights in giving you this goodness. Amen.